Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No. Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, you hear that? That's what home field sounds like. It's how you know it's time to go for the win.
Oh, look at that! What did we just see?
Gambet DC is your home field advantage for sports betting. Bet from almost anywhere in D.C. with an easy-to-use app and convenient betting locations district-wide. Online, in-app, or in-person. Get the home field advantage with Gambet D.C. Must be 18 or older to bet. Please play responsibly.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Leading Edge Cricket Podcast. Today we're breaking down West Indies versus England, the third T20 international. The biggest biceps in Barbados are struck rich. And England are facing an uphill battle.
Rovman, Powell, Rob, absolutely love it. That was stunning, wasn't it? Absolutely stunning. I'm not getting mine out. It's too cold here. Freezing morning in England. That was sensational hitting. 107 off 53 deliveries. He was smacking it at will. The only time he looked like he couldn't hit the ball was when he suddenly realised he was on 97 for about two deliveries.
Yeah,
and that was it. But this we said, didn't we? This West Indies team, we want it to be fun. We want it to be good. We want England to be challenged here. Fun. This is what it is so far.
It was just exceptional. It completely changed the dial of the game, of the series. And he's been a guy, from what I've seen, that has kind of shown glimpses that he could do this, but never gone on and made 100 in a T20. Kind of that big sort of moment. But in the lead up to this, he did play Jamaica versus Ireland and scored 82 not out and took 3 for 32. So his last game of cricket is exceptional form, but came in. If you talk about a man with presence at the crease, he had presence at the crease, and he had another P, positivity. Everything he did was positive.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He was dominant, wasn't he? It was a sensational innings. It just, when you see a player a knock like that, only the third West Indian to register a century at T20 internationals, isn't it? After your big boss, Chris Gayle, and Evan Lewis, who's missing in this series, obviously. You look at this guy, Rovman Powell, and you look at his stats, and you go, okay, it's 34 in games, 26 innings. He's got his 100 now. He's only had 250s before this. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Cricket is such a weird sport, isn't it? You know, you said he's gone off, he's played some T10s, he's done some other stuff, and he's been smacking the ball around. He was talking about, wasn't he, in the middle, apparently the conversation. I wasn't part of this conversation, by the way. I didn't hear this conversation. He told us afterwards in an interview. But he was saying when he was in the middle, who he was batting with, he was just like, just play how you've been playing last three or four, five, 6 months, whatever. You've been smacking the ball really well. Just go for it. And that's exactly what he did. And it's a career, I don't want to say career-defining innings, but it's one that's going to jettison him into that new section, isn't it? A bit like Romario Shepherd. Contracts are going to be coming after that knock for Rovman Powell. And this West Indies team needs to start building for the future. He's not a young fella, but he's not a sneaky old fella either, Rovman Powell. So one, hopefully, that they can build around in that middle order.
Did you hear Mark Butcher? He hit one of the sixes. I think it went 108 metres. And Mark Butcher didn't say anything other than go, "Oh, Lord!" It's like, that's all he could come out with. It was massive.
It was quite funny as well, just talking about the commentators. Now you've mentioned Mark Butcher. He was asking about being in the nervous 90s, you know, a couple of runs before he gets his 100. And then Steve Harmison was just like, I'm laughing because you're asking two bowlers that have never got anywhere near nervous 90s. So, can't relate.
Steve Harmison, one of the few bowlers to be near a 99 mile an hour than scoring 99. But in fact, his brother I saw play against Notts in a T20 game at Trent Bridge and play one of the worst innings to win a game of all time, just nicking the ball for four, inside edge for four, 50 yard, won him the game.
Was it Ben Harmison?
Ben Harmison, yeah.
Oh my word, that's random cricketer of the day. Brilliant. Random, that's fantastic.
There we go.
Random.
There's a
cricketer
new segment
of the day. So, Ben Harmison.
Let's get a jingle going and rate, review, subscribe while you're there. But yeah, Ben Harmison nicking the ball off. I'm going to find it. One day I'm going to look back, I'm going to find that scorecard and go, I was there and it was horrendous, but he won him the game and got 50, 60 odd, whatever it was. Fair play.
Print the scorecard off. That's what I've done to all my international games I've been to. Printed the scorecard. Thank you, Cricket Info.
I like what you're thinking there. Breaking down this game, Rich.
Yep.
England. Now, selection changed. Sam Billings ill.
Yep.
Owen Morgan, just before the start of the game, tweets his quadriceps, apparently.
He tweeted his quadriceps. I thought you just said he just like sent a message to it. Sorry.
140 characters, quadriceps. It's completely gone. And we've gone for the rotation on the bowlers. I can kind of understand rotating your bowlers to some degree. It's a back-to-back game, followed by this game, and then back-to-back at the weekend. So whoever your strongest lineup is that you think you're going to win games of cricket, you need to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
How right are we to have Rhys Topley left arm seam, George Garton left arm seam, and Tymal Mills left arm seam?
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's great when you see a bit of variation. So when you get like a left armer into a predominantly right arm over seam attack, it's like, oh, variation. But I like what England have done here because they've gone, no, actually, we're not going to have two left arms. We're going to have three left arm variations. So then it becomes reverse variation, which basically means there is no variation. And there's no... it's a bit silly, isn't it? I don't really understand it. But this is what they've gone for. I mean, why not have... What's wrong with George Payne? David Payne, sorry. There's too many Georges. Get David Payne in as well. He's a left armer. Why can't he play as well? Why can't we have four left armers? Really go for full variation. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But it's just about giving players opportunity. But let's think about equality here. Why should left armers be seen as a variation? Why can't they just go and lead an attack? We have four right arm overs in the Ashes, don't we?
Yep.
So why can't we have four or five left arms?
You're right. Over? Normalize it, Rich. Make it normal.
Stand up for left armers.
Just
said George Garton as well. Debut for him. Harry Brook debut as well. And Phil Salt. Was it Phil Salt's debut as well in the T20 International? He played his ODIs, didn't he? So strange selections, wasn't it? But more of a question for me, though, and as I was messaging you as the game, why on earth is Phil Salt one of the finest records of strike rate in the first 10 balls of an innings? Why is he batting down at six or seven?
Don't know,
He was scheduled to be seven, came in at six. Harry Brook came in at seven. Didn't expect Harry Brook to play in this series, but because of the little niggles and injuries and whatnot, he got himself a little opportunity. But Phil Salt... we'll come on to that in a minute, won't we? Because that's a second innings, but that was a very big surprise to me. And Bant's got the gloves.
When Garton got selected, I did it by myself, but I did the squad reveal, or, hey, this is who's playing in this rotated T20 international series to the West Indies. And I can't remember who it was, but someone in the comments turned around and said, Garton's rubbish. What is he doing?
Ooh, okay.
Which is fair. Big, we're all entitled.
He's left armour.
Yeah, people rate players, people don't rate players. But he was very direct. He made a great point. He doesn't rate him. He's gone and played in the Big Bash and didn't live up to probably the expectations some people have got of him, because he has got quite a high reputation from domestic T20 Blast cricket.
Mm.
What did you make of his debut? What did you look at and go, yeah, that was pretty good?
It's a difficult one to properly quantify, isn't it? Because he was bowling against somebody that was completely in the zone and completely going after the ball in Rovman Powell. He was also up against Nicholas Perran, who's a very, very talented, ultra-talented West Indian cricketer, who is a little bit overlooked with the likes of Hetmyer and Evan Lewis, I think. But Perran is one of the talents that will take this West Indian team forward in all formats. So he got himself 70 or 43. See, when you're bowling against players that are playing so well, playing so aggressively, and everything seems to be coming out the middle of the bat and coming off, it's not easy. So I'm going to give him a slight benefit of the doubt. But good old George Gatton, as you like to call him, one for 57 off his four overs. That's one of the worst economy rate, well, you know, figures, should I say, in T20 history.
Yeah, for an English player, sixth worst in history.
Yeah.
Jimmy Anderson's the proud owner of the worst figures, interestingly enough.
He's got a lot of records, Jimmy, yeah. So fair play. He deserves that as well. So obviously, historically, not a good performance. For a debut, it's not what he's going to want. But he's, you know, Timo Mills, one for 52 off four overs. He's in pretty good company there. So
he is.
So it's not been a strong tournament so far for English bowling figures. I'm going to be polite.
I think that's fair. Mills going at 13, Livingston going at 14. Questions around Liam Livingston. He did get a wicket, but 142 off three overs. Mm-hmm. He was a bit sluggish in the field, and when he was batting, he looked ill. He had the physio come out to him a couple of times.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because he missed the first few games not feeling great. So, question is, should he have been on the pitch at all? And I know we're a better team with a Liam Livingston in. But a sick Liam Livingston? Surely just rest him up and get him ready for the next two games.
It's, again, tricky one, isn't it, really? Because it depends who else is available in the squad to play. Yes, you could have played one of the bowlers. You know, you could have played somebody else, but you wanted to rotate. You want to give Livingston an opportunity. He's probably said, yeah, I'm fine. I want to play cricket. I want to play for England. But Liam Dawson perhaps could have stayed in the team, played a bit higher up.
Well, that's another left armer, mate, and I think we're maxed out.
Yeah, but it's more about the batting, isn't it? Because we're actually at full capacity of batsmen in this squad now.
Yeah.
That's it. There wasn't another one on the bench to bring in for this game. So I'm a bit surprised with all these squads that keep getting picked, why we're so short on numbers. We've got COVID knocking around. It's not like Ian Cobain's having a beach holiday in Barbados. Maybe he is. Maybe that's what we've done. Maybe he's on holiday over there as well, not just over in Australia. I just think the squads are a little bit tight, aren't they? Banton has looked okay with the gloves, but he was, you know, he's not a long-term experienced keeper, is he? So there wasn't that opportunity for a second keeper batsman in there, which maybe that could have been the extra man that they could have had in, gives you an extra batsman as well. A little bit short, aren't we? I think that's the way of putting it. And Livingston, yeah. In the field, it was weird. There was that one that took a weird bounce, allegedly took a weird bounce. But when I looked at the replay, it didn't really look like it did much. Maybe it did. Maybe it was just a weird angle. It was not very good for him. But he did take a nice catch after that. So, not the Livingston you want to see. But
now, Reece Topley, three games in. He's fit, good. Healthy. He's pretty useful with the ball, isn't he? He seems his height, his bounce. He doesn't do loads with it, but he's just there. It's a heavy white ball. He's added 2 pounds to it. He's making it difficult to bat, and he's bowling pretty well.
He's bowling a flint off ball, is he?
He's good. Left armor.
Yeah, he's looking good. He's taking his opportunity. I was reading something where he's talking about the rehab of injury and the impacts that has, which is something I'm very interested in. And he was talking about how it's not like he doesn't care. He's not got ambition and all the rest of it, but he just puts things in context more now. You know, when he's going through all these, you know, the surgeries and the stress fractures, etc., in his back, he was just thinking, I'd love to bowl, you know, four overs, none for 40. Yeah. Or one for 40, you know, just have one of those days. At least you're out there. And so many people don't appreciate sport enough, in my opinion. And it takes sometimes an injury. And I'm not saying Topley didn't appreciate it, but just people in general. I don't think they quite appreciate sport and playing it at a good level until they actually miss time.
Yeah.
And then you start understanding what you've got. And then it frustrates you even more when you look at people not quite putting the work in, maybe not quite getting themselves right and ready to play cricket at any level, but certainly international level. And Topley he understands all that now. He understands what it means, and he's playing with a lot more, relaxed shoulders. You know, he's coming in a much, much nicer, isn't he, to bowler? So it's really lovely to see him take this opportunity. And I don't want to get ahead of things, but wouldn't it be fantastic if he could go on and play different formats as well? He started doing it in the summer, didn't he, with Red Bull. It would be really, really good. So fingers crossed for him if he can continue this. And we need him to at the moment because everyone else is getting tapped all over the park.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal, actually. 224 for five I think England have only chased more than that once coming into one of these T20 contests. Yeah. And to be fair, they gave it a pretty good show on a ground where I think the highest chasing number had been about 150. I thought England did pretty well, but...
You go. No, I was just going to say, by the way, it was a record score against England, wasn't it, for West Indies?
Was it?
Yeah.
Nicely done from the young lads. So my but is we've had the senior players in the top order not performing for the first couple of T20s. Mm-hmm. Jason Roy, 19 off 16, really struggling to get going. He hit a six and then he skews one and he's caught out. And the thing I like about Jason Roy is I can feel his frustration when he gets out because he just believes so much. He's full of such self-confidence that he can go and achieve and do these great things. So I think there's a score for Jason Roy in this series. And I think it's going to be a meaningful one in England. They're going to win 3-2. James Vince still hasn't convinced me he's a number three at T20 international cricket. He's been very good in the Big Bash previously. And Moeen Ali is in a really difficult bit of form with the bat. But I think kudos needs to be given to this West Indian bowling attack who have targeted wide, outside off stump because he doesn't move his feet. It's sticking in the ground. I'm being polite here. He's just getting outside off stump, not moving his feet that early. But he's in a bit of bad form. And there's calls on Twitter that the great Moeen Ali should not be in this England T20 unit. What are your thoughts on that, Richard?
Well, in this squad at the moment for this tour, then I struggle to understand why that would be a good idea. Who's going to play instead of him? I think that's the thing, isn't it?
He's just a good player, isn't he?
And it's the old thing, isn't it? It's very short memories. I mean, you know, first game, we do remember that England got absolutely smashed by 9 wickets. But do we remember the outcome of the second T20, which was on Sunday, where England won? Yes, by only a margin of one win. But a certain Moeen Ali was man of the match. So are we saying players have got literally a one-run game now? So once, you know, man of the match last game, forgotten. This game didn't play very well. Get him out of the setup. I think that's a pretty ridiculous take, to be honest. No disrespect to anyone that holds that take, but it's wrong at the moment. But when we get away from this series and we start looking towards the next series, which I'm sure will be around the corner, I can't think what it is at the moment, then maybe you could start introducing others. But you've got to have somebody or other players absolutely banging the door down, demanding that spot before you start dismissing players that have got vast experience. And I was pleased, something we spoke about last time was saying about maybe this is a good opportunity for Owen Morgan to step back, rest, relinquish the captaincy role and give other players some experience. It was very notable that Moeen Ali got that captaincy, which I thought was a really, really good moment. And he looked so nervous at the toss when he was trying to say discuss who the team was. And we can all imagine that, you know, captaining a team for the first time or one of the first times, it's a nervy moment, isn't it? So, you know, he's got great experience.
Changes as well to try and remember. Try and remember who played the last game and who's coming in next. When you're probably thinking about when this batsman's on, and bring on this bowler and have this field set. And it just very, very difficult. But I think the overarching feeling about this batting unit in this series has been one of a little bit of disappointment. But after a ropey first game, Tom Banton looked good in the second game, played some nice shots, kind of worked his game out and how he's going to score these runs. And this game, 73 off 39 balls, six sixes. He looked an international cricketer.
Yeah, it's a shame he couldn't have gone on a little bit longer, isn't it? You know, the way we'll talk about Phil Salt in a minute, but the way Salt went on towards the end of the innings, if we could have just married Banton and Salt up and had them together for a while, then we could have probably won this game. You know, Livingston maybe not at his best at the moment, maybe not 100% fit. So we're not getting the right performance out of him at the moment. But Banton was exceptional, really striking the ball cleanly, especially across the line. I was impressed, really was. And I was quite impressed with his glove work as well. He looked pretty tidy behind the stumps. I know it was a simple catch, as we say, but when there was a steepler straight up in the air off one of the players, and I forget who it was, it just made it look like the easiest catch in the world. And that's a good sign from a keeper. Yeah. You know, you don't want people flapping around. He tracked the ball well, got his feet under it, got his head up, got his hands under it and took a lovely, easy catch. Made it look easy. That's a good sign. So, yeah, just going on, Vince, I struggle with Vince. I really do. I always have done. I think he's such an ultra-talented cricketer. But in test side, he'll make 16, 20, 25. It's all the same. Yeah. And he'll nick off. T20s, he'll make 16, as he did today, off, you know, 9 balls, 20, 25, whatever it might be. And he'll you know, he'll chuck it away. I need to see that he's progressed as a cricketer. ODIs, he got his 100 last year. Huge. Happy with him in that format. I think that's probably the right format for him. It's that balance of taking his time and having the ability to accelerate. Yeah. T20, it just feels a bit forced maybe from him. It's not quite his natural game to go from absolute ball one. Yeah, but Phil Salt, 57, Rob, what's he doing down at six?
I don't know, mate, but Ian Bishop stole my line, and it's not a surprise. He said it was assault out there. And I was assault. Like, Ian, you didn't watch the video, but I said exactly the same thing a couple of weeks ago on his performance in franchise cricket. But it was exceptional. It's probably one of the most exciting debuts of an England batsman who's performed on debut. I don't want to say his name on the podcast, but I can't remember being this excited for a player coming into England, performing day one.
Yeah. Kevin, we're not talking about that. Anyway, Phil, we're talking about Phil Salt. We're not talking about that moron. So,
but it was good, and it was hard hitting. Yeah. It was picking the right balls and the right shot to the balls that's being bowled at you. And even going into the last over where we needed, at one point we needed 36 off six, he hit two sixes on the bounce. Mm. I was glued. I was absolutely glued going, Salt's the man. I'm all in. I am all in on Salt.
100%, 100%. Grew up around Barbados, didn't he? His family went over there when he was a youngish lad. He then lived over there and schooled over there before he came back to England around 16 on a cricket scholarship. So he knows the conditions, he knows the place, and it's a big deal for him playing some cricket out here. I would have personally, if you're bringing him in the team, I'm not, you know, Tom Bantam was exceptional, but especially because he had the gloves, there would have been no harm whatsoever in the world in dropping Bantam down to three. I always want, in a T20 team, I want one, two, and three to be strikers of the ball, real strikers of the ball. And then maybe your four and five can be the ones that work it around a little bit more. And then you've got the power again. And if you need to, the power can come up the order if you've not lost many wickets. But I just don't see the point in him being down there. Yes, you know, you could say it nearly worked because you had him in there for the chase. But what could he have done if he was in the order much earlier? You know, him and Bantam going together maybe, or if Roy had gone on. Yeah. Highest strike rate in the game as well. And that's after you've talked about Rodman Powell smacking the absolute lever off a cricket ball for his 100. So that puts it into context. More to come from him, a lot more to come from him. And this is what we need in England settles. We need players like him and Banton starting to perform to put pressure on the likes of Roy, Bairstow, whoever else is going to be opening up or at the moment opening up in this T20 team. It's time for the young guys to start stepping forward, putting pressure on the more established players, raising their game. That's what we want, isn't it? First and foremost, raise the game of the established players, make sure that they don't lose their spots. But if they do, we have players banging and kicking the door down. That's exactly what we need.
Yeah, I like that, mate. I like the thought of people 2 o'clock in the morning coming in half drunk, knocking doors down like, I want to play. Mate, you've had a few beers. Have a sleep. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Harry Brooks' debut, 10 off 13, Rich, 76 strike rate, got out in the 17th over trying to accelerate.
Yep.
I feel like I didn't learn anything about Harry Brook, the player, from this, but what can you do other than if he goes and scores 20 or 30 at that stage, you go, oh, Harry Brook at sevens.
Yeah.
He doesn't play at seven. And this is where it's hard for England. People are playing out of position to what they're used to. So it's not a natural position for them to come and try and implement their skills straight off the bat.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just a bit of a strange lineup, wasn't it? It was more forced upon them through injury with the batting lineup. Bowling was more rotation, but batting was more injury dictating, wasn't it? So it wasn't quite right. It's not the great opportunity for Harry Brook in some respects, but he's got his cap. He's up and running now. He'll want more of a taste of it, won't he? He'll be wanting to be back in for the next game, whether he is or not is another question. But it's good to see. It's good to see. We need to get these young players. It might be that Harry Brook becomes a test cricketer, or it might be becomes a one-day international star, but you need to get them exposure and experience at this level in different conditions as soon as possible. So it's really good that the fact, you know, people like Brook, Salt, etc., Banton, are starting to get that exposure and experience. So regardless of what he did today, you know, if he you know, puts it over the guy's head at long on, he's 16 off 14, or is it 16 off 13, sorry. So we look at it differently, but, you know, he's up and running. But hey, he's a talented young cricketer. He'll take a lot away from this, but it just wasn't for him today.
It's yesterday. A game of inches, Rich. Life's a game of inches. Any given Sunday.
Oh, I should have known that.
We're there. So 2-1. going into a doubleheader this weekend. Presumably, England will make changes, Rich, and they will bring back in your Chris Jordans, probably Saki Mahmood as well. Rhys Topley might even get the straight run through and be the...
Why not?
Why can't someone play five T20 internationals anymore? Rest and rotations. I'm just stopping myself mid-sentence going, five T20 internationals. Like, rest and rotation for five T20 internationals, Rich. I feel that's a topic now that we just need to go yay or nay. Like, it's five games.
It's 20 overs in a week. That's fine. It's fine. He can do it. He can do it. And it's a good test for him as well. I think it'd be a good test for Rhys Topley. And it would be a good test, you know, for himself as well to prove that he can hold up over a period of time. I think it's quite nice how they've spread this out. We've got a couple of games, a couple of days rest, game, a couple of days rest, a couple of games. Yeah. So it's quite nicely balanced out as a series. Yeah, why not? Give him another game. Just need to say, actually, just to make George Garton, debutant, one for 57 off his four, feel a little bit better. Romario Shepherd, yes, he got three wickets, but he went for 59 off his four.
59. That makes a difference.
Yeah, he did. But going for 59, if George Garton wants a little win there, he can say, well, I didn't go for the most runs to die for my four.
Right, mate. We are 25 minutes in, which means we are into 5 good minutes to wrap us up. The newly added feature to the podcast, which everyone's been enjoying. Everyone who's messaged me have gone, I love 5 good minutes.
Really? Wow.
Not sure if it's going to take 5 minutes here, Rich, but we're going to give it a go. We are
better do.
Setting the clock, which I think is a very good addition. And on the YouTube one, I will show the 5 minute clock timer this time. Rich, are you ready?
Yes, but I want it to stay at 5 minutes. Just cut us off if we go past.
Mm. Cut us off. You lose a point. Right. Ooh. 3, 2, 1, go. County age grade cricket is pricing kids out of the game. Matt Price says it costs £1,000 for a kid to play the game. Question mark, is this a massive issue and should kids have to pay?
Yes, it's a massive issue and no, of course, they shouldn't pay. And that's a very expensive subs. I only pay about a fiver.
What are they doing? What are they
doing? I know, it's ridiculous. It's farcical. But this is what happens, though. Club cricket has been channeled into only certain clubs and it's only certain clubs that get players representing into county level. It's a really easy job for counties to just look at certain clubs and not have to cast the net as far away, far and wide as possible. It is absolutely ludicrous because all you're getting is the people that can afford it and they've got the family or parents that are willing to drive them all over and have all that money to spend. You're cutting off so many people in this, you know, in the country that could potentially go out and play cricket for England one day, natural talented rather than just the ones that have got all the kit. What's the old saying, Rob? All the gear?
No idea.
Exactly.
All the kit. South Africa, India. South Africa beat them 3-0 in the one-day international series, 2-1 in the test series. Question mark, Rich. Have India peaked with this current crop of players?
I'm not answering that. There's no way in the world I'm answering that. India will carry on forever to be with the greatest side ever and will never lose a game of cricket. But if there's no Indian cricket fans listening, I think they've got a bit of time yet. There's still some talent in this squad. They've still got players that they can bring in, one or two here and there. But it was an important series in both setups for South Africa, I think. I think that's more to the point in this one. I think India maybe just got to the end of a run at the moment. They need a bit of rest, come back strong. But no, I don't think their demise is quite on the cards just yet.
Players skipping the IPL. Root, Stokes, Archer and Mitchell Starc, all due to skip the IPL, due to Red Bull commitments. Is this a new trend that could take off? Long live Red Bull cricket.
Long live Red Bull cricket. I think it needs to. I think certain players, the important players of Red Bull cricket, need to express, you know, by maybe not joining in every IPL, to show the world that actually we do see it as important and we do see it as a priority. These boys have got a lot of money already now. You know, fair enough going to one or two IPLs, but when you've been to a few, I mean, how much money do you need, lads? You know, no one's telling you to retire from the world when you hit 35 and finish playing cricket. You can carry on working, you can invest, you can do whatever you want. So, I think it's sensible. Have the best career for you, not just fill your bank account.
Afghanistan have beat Zimbabwe 3-0, Rich. Do we now class Afghanistan as not a minnow?
Good stuff. Well done. depends what format. They need more exposure in test cricket. One day, white ball stuff, absolutely not a minnow anymore. Quality team. Test match, still still in the paddling pool.
Work in progress. First class Red Bull shuffle. 5 rounds of first class cricket to be held in the middle of summer. Who would have thought it? ECB have come out and said they need to get the balance right. It's taken them to hit rock bottom to make this change. Lip service or a good step in the right direction?
I will believe it when I see it. Get the fixture list out for next summer and I'll believe it. But until then, it's just deflecting questions at the moment. There's a lot of pressure on the ECB, not fit for purpose ECB. So I think they're trying to do all they can to maintain their positions. Going back to the money about the kids in county setups, 2.1 billion, was it, paid out with as a bonus to the ECB? That's where your money is. Get the money back into the game and stop talking utter nonsense.
I like it. 1 minute 20 left, Rich. Super Smash Final kicks off in New Zealand on Saturday.
Yeah, pass that to me. I know all about that. Yeah,
exactly. No problem. 8-1 Northern District against the 7-2 Canterbury. Going in a game that features Latham, Henry, Bolt, Sody, Colin de Grandhomme, Mitch Santner. Is this the best locally talented final in domestic cricket?
Sure, why not?
It makes me feel good just hearing you say
you
that.
Tell me.
Yes, it is. Big Bash final, Sixers versus Perth. Top two teams in the competition going head-to-head at the end. Who wins? Pick a team.
Scorchers, Sydney Sixers. I've not followed this competition much as I should have done, and that's my... I'm losing out here. But Dan Christian plays for the Sixers. All Dan Christian does is win T20 competitions around the world, so I can't look past the Sixers, even though he's a little bit short of players.
Yeah. Did you get the text?
No, I didn't. But if anyone hasn't seen it, Dan Christian's tweet, shout out to anyone, no test cricketers, Melbourne, that wants a game of cricket tomorrow night. My team's struggling to get 11 COVID-free fit players on the park. Warm-up starts 6:30 at Marvel Stadium. Free beer afterwards, potentially out of a large cup. DM if keen. So, Ian Cobain, get involved if you're not already.
Cobain will get a job anywhere, mate. He's well worth his money. And that, my friend, is 5 good minutes in 4 minutes and 58 seconds, give or take 10 seconds either way. Lovely stuff, Rich. Two games to go. We'll catch up again once those two games are finished over the weekend. We'll come back. Mm-hmm. We'll touch on the South African team as well. We'll talk through that. There's Simon Harmer coming back into the team. There's a lad that was playing for Boulderton in the Nottinghamshire Leagues as well, getting the game. Mm-hmm. So plenty of good stuff going on.
Also, under-19s, England, good luck to them. Through to the semi-finals, the under-19s. So let's see if they can go and get a win. First one since 1988, I think.
Ooh, happy days. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.